three?
Yep. My name is Kieran, and I'm 13 years old. Today is...
November 25th,
and I'm speaking with Sampath, who is my grandfather. We're recording this interview over phone in Eugene, Oregon, and Orlando, Florida. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? Like, what were you like as a child?
Yeah, I was born in 1947, but the first thing I remember was about 1950, when my father and grandfather were building a house in a neighborhood called Adiramapuram in Chennai, India.
Huh.
I remember during construction, there were piles of sand. I remember playing in the sand with my brother, sister, and a lot of other cousins and other relatives.
Huh.
Then I went to an elementary school, which was about 3 blocks from our home. And of course, we walked 3 blocks. And it was the best school that I remember. Made lots of friends. It was a really enjoyable time. And I was a member of the Cub Scout. And they used to take us for a overnight camping trip, which also I still remember the places. So my elementary school days were fantastic. Then I joined middle and higher school,
mm-hmm.
high school,
yeah.
That which was about 1 kilometer from my home. And again, there were a lot of friends, and I started playing a game called cricket. And I became pretty good at it. And that is the time I became very interested in science, particularly chemistry. My time was spent between playing cricket and doing some science experiments at home, because my father, your grandfather, was very much involved in physics, and he had a lot of little gadgets and other things at home.
Cool.
So I used to experiment with some of those, and one of my memories was he had a carbon arc lamp.
Uh-huh.
In those days, it was very popular, and when nobody was there, I wanted to build a table lamp.
Huh.
So I connected wires and plugged it into the electrical socket, and I was thrown about 15 feet across the room because I had not connected properly. So that was my science memories.
Huh.
Next question.
Yeah, so can you tell me about your grandparents or your great-grandparents?
Yeah, I've had, of course, 2 sets of grandparents. My father's side grandfather, his name was Srinivasan.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for the local government, and he managed accounts. And he also used to write short stories for children. I had one of his stories for a long, long time. And he was extremely fond of me. He used to call me Anna. Anna means brother. I don't know why he called it, but he always used to call me as Anna. And I adored him. He was a wonderful man. And my grandmother was, her name was Pushpavalli. We call her Puchi. And she was also extremely fond of me, and she used to make all kinds of treats for me.
Like what?
And, she... Hmm?
Like what?
Yeah, Indian saltish trees like muruku and all those things.
Oh.
And she was very much involved in arts and crafts, and she was wonderful with her handiwork. She used to make all kinds of laces, knitwear, handbags, all kinds of things. She was extremely gifted with handicrafts. My grandfather passed away when I was in ninth grade. My grandmother lived for another 20 years, and she died almost around 1980.
Huh.
My maternal grandfather was an attorney. His name was Bashyam. He moved to the suburb of Chennai with his wife, Shanbaram. And this gentleman cut a raised civil law on his clients, included movie actors and other famous people. And he had a lot of children and grandchildren, so in summer we all used to go to his house, and there were about 20 kids and another 15 adults, and the whole house used to be 35, 40 people. A month back, I was wondering how in the world he managed to feed all of us and find accommodation for all of us in his house. I remember he had roll-away carpet, very thick carpet that used to spread down the balcony and the rooftop, where about 20 of us used to sleep. Keith's house was in Tambram, which was an isolated place. And from there, we used to walk to a temple called Trinirmalai, which was about 3 miles. So we used to walk through the backyards of houses and paddy fields. So we had great summer holidays in his house. His wife was Shanbagam, and her father was a police officer, police chief. And when we were young, I had never met him. When we were young, we were told that he used to have a pet leopard in his house.
Do you think that's true?
Later, people wrote stories about him, how he managed the police department and all those things. There were lots of relatives. Many of them worked for railways. In those days, in Indian railways, it was very common for the whole family to be involved in railway. And even now, my uncle, my mother's younger brother, and another uncle, they were all chief of various regional district railways. And one of them became the chief of the Indian Railways. Those were my parents and grandparents. I also had brothers and sisters of my parents. Grandfather, both side grandparents. I had met some of them, particularly one who lived in Chennai. They are still very close to me.
You said that one of your grandparents wrote like children's stories. Do you still have any of them?
He wrote a lot of stories, and the one I remember was published, and I had it with me for quite some time. I lost it during my move from house to house. So it was fairly funny. He used to write it when he was not at work. And I still remember him sitting in his desk in the front room on writing stories, on going and talking to other people about publishing them.
Cool. So what are you most grateful for?
Say that again.
What are you most grateful for?
I am grateful for my father, for initiating me to science. He really wanted me to be a scientist, and he practically kept me away from any other nuisances and problems at home or problems in other places. So he encouraged me to be a scientist like from day one. He was a scientist, but he could not practice science because of social pressure. He had to get a government job and became a full-time teacher. So he could not run his laboratory. So he wanted me to be a scientist. And he encouraged me until his last day. So I'm grateful to my father for getting me to think about science. I also had a fairly easy life. Fortunately, I had good education, moved around the world, had your grandmother, wonderful wife, who not only encouraged me to be a scientist, but also took care of the children, everything else. So I had a great family. Even now I'm close to my brother and sister. So a very tight-knit family, good job, the opportunity to travel around the world, almost complete all the bucket list I had for getting myself into good position for retirement. and now Linda to take care of things. So I'm thankful for a lot of things. Fortunately, except for diabetes, I'm also in decent health. So overall, I have a lot of things to thank for.
Yeah. So yeah, you were talking about Patti. How did you meet her?
In those days in India, most of the marriages were arranged marriages. So your party, my wife, her mother and my mother, they were neighbors in another part of Chennai. And then the my mother moved away from that profession to Abhiramapuram, where we got eventually settled. And when I finished my PhD and when I wanted to leave India, they suggested I get married. And immediately my mother said, I have a friend in Mysore who has a daughter, go ahead and you go and see. So I went and saw your grandmother. That's how we met. And 2 months later, we got married in India. So that is how I met. It was an arranged marriage. Both parents knew each other. So and then immediately we realized there were a lot of common relatives and friends. So everything went nicely.
Cool. So yeah, what was my dad like when he was growing up?
Oh, he was funny. He was funny, and he kept us very lively, active, and he used to enjoy watching advertisements. So he would say whenever a TV commercial came, be quiet, I'm watching commercial. And he used to ride a tricycle. Everybody loved him. So we were renting a house from an old man. And he adored your dad. And the next door neighbor used to go ice fishing. And he used to bury an electric rod to get the worms. And your dad used to watch it. It was lots and lots and lots of fun. I still have recordings of him talking. He liked the Sesame Street very much. So he was a delightful little baby.
Huh.
Yeah. And then when he went to kinder care or daycare, we used to take him around. That was also in a nearby church. So again, we made a lot of friends, and it was fun.
Huh. Cool. And also, are there any traditions that has been passed down that you can tell me about?
Yeah. Traditionally, my parents, your grandma's parents, everybody, 70% of Indians are vegetarians. So the vegetarian tradition passed along, and your dad and Bharat uncle, they both also followed our steps. So one tradition that they followed was being vegetarian. Second, your grandmother used to celebrate all Indian functions like Diwali and others, Pongal, all those things. So celebrating those traditions and making specific food items that was typical of those festivals also was a part of our tradition. Your grandmother wore a sari even in extreme cold weather in Minnesota. She loved wearing a sari. Even though there was no pressure on her to wear sari, but she enjoyed wearing a sari even at minus 40 degrees in Minnesota. So that is another tradition she liked. So basically, even though we lived in the United States for over 40 years now, most of our routines were typical of a Southern Indian family.
Yeah. So when you were saying that, you know, even like from right at the beginning, you were interested in science and stuff, but has your life been any different than you were imagining, like when you were a kid or when you were a teenager?
Yeah, science has changed a lot. 40, 50 years back, the scientists had unbelievable freedom. and there were no pressure for obtaining grants and other things. There were not this many scientists, so scientists were looked upon positively. They contributed a lot to knowledge. So, and I went to a school called Indian Institute of Science, which is one of the top 100 schools in the world. So everything was practically handed over to us, and things have changed. Now there are thousands and thousands of PhDs produced around the world, and one part of the world is quite advanced in science, and other countries cannot caught up with. So there is a lot of discrepancy, not enough job, not enough government or other philanthropical support for science, and people's expectation of science also has changed dramatically. People want miraculous overnight cures for complex diseases. So there are a lot of expectations that the current day scientists are not able to meet the demand. So science has changed, but at the same time, if I have to choose another career, science would be one important top on the list. However, the science did not teach us how to enjoy life. So the scientists, in most parts, were kind of socially not adaptive, and none of us were taught any music or fine arts. So we were we lived in isolation, we lived in seclusion by choice. And now that I'm close to retiring, I'm trying to find out what else I can do and what else I can enjoy. So science and arts and humanities have to meet somewhere so that scientists will not be in isolation.
Yeah, so when did you come to the U.S.?
When I left India in 1974, December end, 1 month after I married your grandmother, we went to Japan first. We stayed in Japan for a year, and then moved to Durham, North Carolina in 1976. Your dad was born in India in March of 76. And he came to Durham with your grandma in June of 1976. So we came early 1976. And since then we moved quite a lot, from Durham to Austin, Minnesota, to San Diego, California, to Atlanta, to New Orleans, to Columbus, and now to Orlando. But when we were in San Diego, your dad completed high school, moved to Berkeley, and Bharat came with us to Atlanta. He completed his high school in Atlanta and moved to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So we have moved around quite a bit. So it's about 43 years since we came to the United States.
And how different is life in the United States compared to India?
Very, very different. There are good and bad aspects of both places. India has a huge population, so wherever you go, you will see people. And you will see poor people, middle-income people, rich people, everywhere. And you learn about people, you learn to be humane, you learn to be kind and tolerant of other things. Even somebody who is earning 1 rupee per day was a lot more happier than somebody who made $1 million here. In the United States, on the other hand, you have quality of life, advanced technology, the houses, everybody's dream, people drive cars. So there is a lot of material comfort, and orderliness, and other advancements here. On the other hand, there the quality of life may not be as good as here, but there is a lot of emotional support. In my days, people lived in giant families, uncles, aunts, and everybody lived close by. So there is a sense of community on collaboration and cooperation. Vendors used to come down the street. You can buy vegetables to everything right in front of your house. And in my days, bicycle and two-wheel vehicles were the norm. There weren't that many cars. Now things have changed. Individual houses have become big apartment complexes.
Yeah.
And a lot of car traffic and all those things. So the quality of life is changing there. And since I left, at the time I enjoyed it much, I kind of, I like the old India more than the new India. The, on the other hand, the for day-to-day living, ease and comfort, United States is a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
There is, both countries are democratic countries, so what you see about freedom and all those things exist in both places.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there, people are a lot more expressive about the governments and things. So I miss the old India.
Mm-hmm.
30 years back, I tried to go back to India, but at that time, mm-hmm. there were not that many jobs for scientists, so I decided to stay here.
So, what kind of jobs were you thinking about, like, in science?
In the early days, only academic jobs were available in India.
Uh-huh.
And very few institutions had scientific research.
Mm-hmm.
So, and having studied in one of the most elite schools, I tried to get an academic position in 2-3 places. But in those days, the field or the topic that I chose to do my research was not a popular topic.
Mm-hmm.
That is the time when universities became familiar with the DNA technology, genetics, and all those things. So the every institution in India, they were gearing up towards those type of studies rather than traditional studies that I was doing. And also, my studies, even in those days, were mostly related to clinical type of, medical type of research. And in India, at that time, medical research was practically non-existent. So that made a big difference for me because even though I studied chemistry and biochemistry, almost all my positions were in medical department, endocrinology, gastroenterology, pathology,
mm-hmm.
Gynecology and obstetrics, cardiothoracic surgery, like that. So more I moved away from simple basic chemistry and biochemistry, more
mm-hmm.
I became involved in medical research. So at the same time, it became more and more difficult for me to think about any job outside of this particular area. Then also, I became an inventor, and in order to manage my inventions, I also studied MBA
mm-hmm.
and ran two companies with my friends. So that also got me a little bit outside of research,
mm-hmm.
and that type of opportunity was also not available in India, because there, most of the big drug companies, they were more interested in packaging and formulations
uh-huh.
rather than discovery of new drugs.
Huh.
So these are the things that made me realize that it's better if I stay in academics and do the things that I'm comfortable in doing rather than looking for new things.
Huh. Yeah, finally, if any, like, later generations listen to this, do you have any advice for them?
Yes. Number one, don't forget arts and humanities. They are as important as science.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there are different levels of science. You need to be comfortable with what you do. Number
mm-hmm.
three, there is no border or boundary between various branches of science. Your dad is a typical example. He studied
mm-hmm.
physics. Now he does more biology than physics. So people need to develop a multi-directional
mm-hmm.
approach and have a global view of things that they could do rather than a very narrow field. So
mm-hmm.
My suggestion to younger people is
mm-hmm.
study as long as you can afford to. because people nowadays live 75, 85 years, and there's no point in rushing to get a job. It's better to explore all the possibilities, learn as much as possible, and learn different things, and then focus on what you want to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's it for the interview. Thanks a lot. What?
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Ready for school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hang on.